All right, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this Sabbath day. Thank you for the changing of the showbread that's about to occur. And thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance and all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night. And thank you for blessing this Sabbath in a special way so that we can each get that much closer to your Son, so that we can be worthy receptacles of the latter rain as it falls more abundantly. Please forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we can go forth and glorify you as prophecy declared your final church will do. Thank you for blessing the work and the workers all around the world, and keeping a hedge of angels around each and every one of us, those that do the work and those that help those that do the work. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. I want to welcome some of the new people down there. Emily, Omar, and Donnie. Omar, check your email. Because you sent me a request. So anyway, welcome. Seven blessings to everyone. Get this microphone where it belongs here. Oh, it's hitting things. Hold on. All right, there we go. All right. If you're new, just scroll underneath the chat room, and you'll then go to question number 7. And that question is, as a vital ingredient in man's restoration, how was Adam to spend his time? And thank you, Brother Gorn. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. You know, as old as I'm getting, I am finding out how important exercise really is. And I recall many years ago that when my dad got into his late 40s, he started to experience pain in his legs and especially in his knees. He went to a doctor, and I never found out what the doctor told him, but I do recall that he eventually brought home a vibrator and proceeded to use the vibrator on his knees almost daily while watching TV. And see, my dad's business called for him to sit behind a desk most of the day. So he didn't get a lot of activity. Surprisingly, he never really got overweight, but one could tell he was not very toned. And I recall when I too reached my late 40s that I called him one day and told him what helped me when I too started to experience pains in my legs and my knees, because I more or less have the same body style as he does, and now I even look like him. And worse yet, I even inherited my mother's hip issues, where she, I would imagine everybody has that though. You know, if you don't, like if you sit like myself, you know, I do a lot of sitting. I mean, in my youth, I did a lot of active work, and I played frisbee a lot. I mean, yeah, I shot pole. Yeah, that was the thing that I loved the most was billiards. But when I was outside, you couldn't keep a frisbee out of my hands or in them because I was constantly throwing that thing around, and it kept me active. And I had never, ever experienced any pain in my joints. It wasn't until I went into the ministry full-time, which caused me to find myself sitting behind a computer all day, that I discovered what my mom and my dad discovered. Only now I had an understanding of God's will and decided to do as he suggested here in his word. So instead of grabbing a vibrator to stop the pains in my knees or hips, well, my mom never used it on her hips, she just had hip replacement, I decided to go for walks. Do some outside work as often as possible. And I even started a garden. And I got to tell you, you know, I can understand why the Lord had Adam work a garden, even more so today, because Adam didn't have to deal with the weeds, of course, until he sinned. And then it was the sweat of his brow that he'd have to fight them weeds. And boy, do we got to fight them now. You know, lately I haven't, this year or last year, haven't done much in the garden. Been a little bit too busy around here, and so kind of miss that. But I do exercise, and I noticed back then when I started doing the garden and stuff like that, that within a few days, all my pain was gone. I was just talking about this the other day with my wife about how much I appreciate this elliptical that we got in the house, because every hour on the hour I get up, you know, I try to remember at least every hour I get up off my desk and I'll go for a walk for 100 yards or 150 yards, whatever. You know, on the machine it shows you how far you walk. And, you know, I try to get a mile or two in a day or something like that. Just doing, and then of course I do a lot of outside stuff because it's beautiful outside. So, I like, you know, especially with the midday prayer, I like to go for walks. And so I have to tell you that this is very important if you want to live a longer, healthier life. I am convinced that both my mom and my dad died before their time because neither one of them exercised one bit. You know, my mother tried all sorts of diets for years to lose weight, and my dad just kept visiting doctors and using vibrators, and that and never did anything. I mean, he still didn't get overweight or anything like that. I mean, he got the, you know, the old man pouch like we, you know, everybody seems to get when you get older. And, well, not everybody, but some of us do. And both of them had pain daily. And my mom, like I said earlier, my mom's pain got so bad, she just had you know, her titanium hips put in. And all of it, you know, all of it had, could have been avoided just by going for a walk every day. And I remember, too, that my parents did do the mall walk thing for a while, you know, like a lot of old people will do, especially in the Chicago area. They would open up Chicago Ridge Mall, for example. They would open it up 1 or 2 hours before. Well, actually, it would just open up the doors, this one set of doors, for the employees that would get in and set things up a couple hours before 9 o'clock, you know, before the crowds came in. And they would let the old people come in and go for a walk because it was a lot safer than going for a walk in the neighborhoods. And if it was raining or cold outside, you could do it year-round, so it was great. And my mom and dad did that for a week, maybe. I don't know. They didn't do it long. And it really saddened my heart because, you know. But on top of that, one of the other benefits of working in a garden is you're making food. And that is the better food. You know, the vegetarian or the vegan diet. And yes, my wife also experienced this too with her parents. They both had very bad diets. And the strange thing is her, like my parents, my mom, I think she was 83, 84 when she passed. But my dad was 79. I remember that. And my wife's mom, what was she, 86? She could have been in her 90s. But I think she was 86. I don't know. But, yeah, very, very, very bad diet. No exercise whatsoever either. But, yet she lived as long as she did. But I could see another 10, 15, 20 years would have been added on to her. And Luke sent me some, well, we were talking about this the other day, and I ran across a couple of women that I, online, that I saw. One of them looked like she looked to be in her 30s. One of them looked to be in her mid-40s, and they were both in their 80s. I kid you not. I put them on the website years ago, and both of them had an all-raw diet. They had the Edenic diet, and it was amazing. But the exercise thing here is extremely important as well, because it doesn't matter what your diet is. If you're going to just sit around all day. And that's what kind of got me off my chair, too. A while ago, I ran across a video and some information in regards to people that sit behind a desk all day and how they have a tendency to die younger. And it makes perfect sense. You sit down all day and you don't do nothing, your body will have a tendency to relax in a lot of areas you don't want it to relax in, especially in regards to the heart. And so, and I noticed this too, and I was just talking about this the other day too, because of all the exercise I've done over the last year or so, that, and I've always been one to exercise, but for a few years I just stopped. I didn't do anything other than, you know, the walking. And never in winter. But I noticed that Where was I with that? I kind of went off the deep end in my brain. Yeah. Amen, Matthias. 969 years. That's the oldest man. That's Methuselah in the Bible, but that's also very short considering how long we're supposed to live. Oh, yeah, the heart thing. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, yeah, it kind of concerns me because for two reasons. Number one, I read about how if you sit around all day and you don't do any exercise, your body's going to get weakened because you're just not using certain muscles. And I knew that as a fact because all of a sudden my knees started hurting and my hips started hurting, which means it was just bone on bone. There was no muscle between them. I mean, the muscle's there, but because I wasn't working it, it wasn't able to lift. Well, there's no muscle in between the bones, but you know what I mean. The muscles on the side of the bones that prevent the cartilage from banging. And just like shock absorbers or airbags, you know, on semis or shock absorbers in cars, it prevents the axle from cramming into the frame. And so if you don't exercise those muscles, they're not going to be as strong, and they're not going to be able to keep the bones floating above the cartilage and whatnot. And so, and I noticed a few years ago, and oh man, this really kind of like set me back a little bit. You know how we all do this. Every human does this, and so it's not embarrassing, unless of course you do it in a crowd of people, especially when you're standing in line to get food. And it was really embarrassing that day, but. You choke on your own spit sometimes, you know. Sometimes it just goes down the wrong tube. And you start coughing, and you're coughing. And with me, it gets violent to the point where I lose my voice and everything afterwards. I can't talk for... That's why I had to turn on and walk out. Right as soon as it was my turn to get up to the menu, this was years and years ago, it was even before I was a Sabbath keeper. It was my turn to get up there to, I think it was in Taco Bell or something like that, and I was going to get a taco salad. Because I had already quit the meat-eating thing, and I started choking on my spit, and it was my turn, and I'm coughing, and I try to talk, and nothing's coming out. So I just turned around and walked out. I gave up. I just didn't even bother ordering. But I did this one day years ago in the garage here in this house, and I literally had to sit down. My chest was hurting. My arms were hurting. I mean, it just felt like I was blowing vessels everywhere. I mean, it was just exploding blood vessels. I mean, it just felt like my skin was going to fly off my bones because so much pressure from that coughing. And I thought, boy, I need to start lifting weights again and do this and do that and do that. And so, yeah, so praise God now I can I bounce around a little bit better now. I got a spring in my walk. And I got to tell you, exercise is and the clarity of the mind. Oh, man, it's so much easier to understand the scriptures. It's easier to talk on your feet, and the benefits are off the chart. It's amazing. It just really, really is. And you age a lot slower too. You know, I wish I would have known this years and years and years ago because I have literally, with all the stress and stuff like that, with the family and the church family as well, I went gray a little quick. And started aging quicker. But then now I've noticed that it has slowed down considerably, and I praise his name because of the exercise and giving the stress on to the Lord and all that. And for those of you that get a lot of siblings, and especially if you're the oldest, I have a tendency to end up, you know, like we all do, go to funerals and stuff like that of loved ones. I just went to a funeral a few weeks ago from one of my nephews. And it's amazing how my younger brothers and my younger siblings look older than me because they don't. And my wife, too, I've noticed that, too. Her younger sister looks 30 years old. She looks like she's in her 70s or 80s, and this girl is in her late 40s, maybe. But she has really abused her body. She's, you know, smoking and drinking the whole night, like my brothers. One of my brothers quit, or two of my brothers quit, I think. But still, with the meat eating and everything like that, and no exercise, it's sad to watch. I says, you guys are younger than me, but it looks like you're going to be, you know, slipping in that box a little quicker. So, again, diet and exercise especially. So let's jump to the next question here. It's number 8. What is as good as medicine? And the verse that is shared is Proverbs 17:22. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, for the broken spirit drieth the bones." As any natural healer will tell you, the relation that exists between the mind and the body is very important. And I'm not saying this is mind over matter theology. I'm not talking about you can heal yourself if you just concentrate. You know, there's a bunch of really strange stuff out there that's Middle Eastern theology as well, like with the yoga and all that other falderal, but it's all demonic. But the basic thing that I'm getting into here is when the body is sickened, the mind is affected negatively and vice versa. I mean, seriously, how many of us have seen people that are very down and upset when they get a simple cold? I know I have at times been very hard to live with when I get sick. You know, my wife can attest to that. I have a tendency to, you know, well, I used to have a tendency to moan and groan. And I hardly ever get sick. Hardly ever. And I praise God for that too. But I don't remember the last time I got a cold. But still, science, and I mean true science, has already proven that the condition of the mind affects the health for more than most realize. Take, for example, the couple that they, you know, that had been married for a lifetime. And when one of the spouses die, even though the other spouse may be in good health for their age, they usually die within a very short time of losing their spouse. It just happened, too, the other day. My wife sent me an article in regards to something like this where an old man died. I think they were married 67 years or something like that. They lived together in the nursing home. You know, they had twin beds next to each other and all this other stuff. And the old guy died, and a few hours later, his wife died. He had a stroke or something like that, and then she just went to sleep. So it's a proven fact that many of the diseases are the end result of mental depression, and one of the reasons some people cannot break away from a sickened condition is because they let it get them down. I always used to call that body rot. You know, like when you have a bad attitude and you're always depressed and stuff like that, the Word of God goes into details about that. And, you know, where it's not good for you physically. And for those that think that may be hard to believe, have you ever had an ulcer? I did. And it had nothing to do with my diet. I was worrying about things that were outside of my control, and because I worried, I generated a medical condition that was very painful that lasted for months. It wasn't until I stopped worrying about the church family or the family itself and used natural methods to get healed. I didn't go to any AMA doctor, and I know people because before I was a Christian, I had an ulcer too, so I guess I had a weak spot down there. And I went to a doctor, and they gave me this tummy nummy stuff and all this. Well, that's what I called it, tummy nummy. It was just painkillers or something. And it took forever, and it really never really healed. I mean, but it was gone for years, I guess. It took a long time with their medication. So they made an awful lot of money. And I've run across people. My dad had an issue like that. One of my daughters had an issue like that with the ulcers and stuff. And I noticed how when they use the AMA methods, it lasts a long time. I mean, a long time. I just used slippery elm. I kid you not. There's a couple of ways to do it, of course. I prefer the powder when you get it. Even if I don't have it in powder form, like if I got it in shredded slippery elm, it works that way too. But then you gotta use like a not a filter, but strain it. Yeah, you gotta go through a strainer, and that takes forever because this stuff gets really gooey, you know. Because you don't want to be you can swallow the little sticks and stuff, but I got tired of that, so I just grind it down to a powder and then. Put some hot water on it, let it sit for 10, 15 minutes, and it comes back like a blob of goo. And you drink that, and it'll stick on that ulcer. It'll just sit there. And within a few weeks, you know, Well, actually, within a day or two, the pain was gone. But every now and then, I could feel it, and so I would do the Slippery Elm. I think I did the Slippery Elm for a month or two, and now I haven't had any issue in a couple of years. It's gone, and didn't see a single doctor about it. And I know it was an ulcer. You know, the bleeding, everything was there. So, but the main thing is the worrying. I didn't have a merry heart. Well, I always have a merry heart. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, people used to say, I got to grow up. And I, you know, I says, nah, I'll grow old, but I ain't going to grow up. But I had to stop worrying and, you know, about loved ones. This includes all of you guys, too, because some of you have issues and you call me and I would help you with them and I'd pray. And it would sicken me because I know what you're going through, because I went through a lot of the stuff you guys are going through. So if the human mind can sicken the body like that, and we know ulcers are literally, I mean, yeah, a lot of times ulcers are diet bound, but a lot of, you know, I was, you know, vegan, Sabbath keeping, the whole nine yards, and I wouldn't eat no meat, and I got, or drinking beer or anything else like that, that kind of burns a hole in your belly, but so then we know the Bible's true. Okay, well, we know the Bible's true anyway. But, you know, some may laugh and scoff at Proverbs 17:22, but I'm living proof that it's true. And for me, it's been a blessing to behold. I only hope those that scoff don't have to go through the pain of an ulcer or a chronic disease to find that out. And but I don't know if you've ever heard of the man Patch Adams, but he was a doctor that the AMA gave a rough time to, because he decided to dress up in a funny manner and make sick children laugh as a way to help them get better. The AMA did all that they could to stop that man, but his methods actually worked, just as the Bible promised. In fact, he built a free hospital in West Virginia called Gesundheit Institute. In short, even without trying, some that don't believe prove the Bible's true. A merry heart truly does do it good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Okay, and that's what I, you know, like to refer to as the body rot, because a broken spirit, and I've seen people literally depress themselves all the way into their deathbeds, and there's a multitude of diseases, and cancer is one of them, and even bone marrow cancer too, with the drying of the bones. And so it's something that we've all witnessed throughout our lives. We've seen this, and I know all of you can attest to this too. Laughter does have a tendency to cheer you up. Okay, that's a no-brainer. But it's, you know, physically as well, it makes you feel better. And that's why I mentioned what I mentioned earlier in regards to, I remember when I was growing up, as a little kid, I was always a joker. And I've always been that way. I was a class clown, and even during my tough love years, I'd be the class clown then too. And people used to tell me, even, especially when I got into my teen years, and then when I got into my 20s and 30s, and they always used to say, "Oh, you're immature." I said, "No, it's not immaturity. I'll grow old, but I ain't gonna grow up. I'm gonna keep that kid in me. You know, I'm gonna keep that merry heart, if you will, because I can find humor in just about anything." And it's not hiding behind the humor or nothing like that. I've got Christ Jesus to hold on to. I've got my anchor. I don't have to worry about hiding behind certain things. I just like having a better outlook, you know, even if I was sick as a dog. And that's something that the Lord helped me work on too, because I remember the last time I was sick, I didn't really moan and groan. I just figured, oh, well, this is the test I got to deal with today or tomorrow or the next day. You know, I don't like it. Nobody likes to be sick, you know, but you got to do what you got to do. So, okay, let's see if we can jump into number 9 here. Number 9 says, what has God asked us to do for others which will benefit our own health? And Isaiah chapter 58, verses 7 and 8 says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? know, family. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I've been able to see many scenarios in my life when it comes to how people associate with each other, and I must say, it's been an education. Now, like I've always said, it's like the school of hard knocks, literally. And this is how the Lord actually revealed himself to me through life. I'd rather be educated hands-on than to go to any seminary or anything like that, and definitely today I wouldn't want to even go in a seminary. All they're going to do is teach you how to deny Jesus Christ as Savior and how to become a preacher tainer to make money, and that's it. And then teach churchianity. I don't want none of that garbage. They can keep that. I want to go home. I don't want to stay here, because to stay here means you're going to become ashes, fertilizer. Oh, thanks. I want to be alive. So, and I want to make him smile. I mean, he's done so much for me. I owe him. You know, I feel like I owe him that much. So, but it's been an education, especially when the one I am watching is sick. I've noticed how some use their poor health as an excuse not to help their fellow men. But when it gets to that point, it's become obvious that they have wrapped their entire life around their own problems so much that their sufferings, trials, and afflictions have literally become their message to the world. They can think of no one but themselves, but there is a way out of that despair. As we see here in Isaiah 58, if you help clothe the naked, and in some cases even bring, you know, the homeless, or even a loved one, in from the cold and despair, and feed them, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. But still, I got to say, I've been educated on the good toss of the coin as well, too, because I have loved ones that are sick. And very close to me, in fact. And the way he handles himself, you know, one in particular, I'm not going to mention any names, but the way he handles himself, it really is amazing to me. Because, you know, generous to others and all this other stuff, it's just a really an amazing thing to see the Lord actually working there. And I know others see it too. And hopefully it's a big enough seed planted so that when that rain starts falling, that seed gets some growth going on for those people that this young man has been blessing, let's put it that way. So, I mean, doing as Jesus does to those near you is an excellent remedy for disease. It doesn't necessarily mean you're definitely going to get healed or anything like that, but does that matter when you're headed home anyway? Because there ain't going to be no disease up there. You know, and a lot of people think, well, what if, you know, there isn't any heaven? I says, let's just quit the fall to all and quit the idiocy and quit the self-deception. If there isn't a heaven, and if there isn't a God, and let's forget about the creation end of things and all this other stuff, explain prophecy. I mean, that, I believe, is what got some of the atheists that have joined our number to actually step in, because you can't explain prophecy. I'm not talking about the agendas of Rome when they come up and act like some of their so-called prophets like Nostradamus or Malachi. Well, he calls himself Malachi, but I don't want to connect him with anything in Scripture. But I'm talking about rock-hard prophecy, especially the John 14:29 kind of stuff that we saw happen last week. For some people, a lot of us already knew it was coming. And what I mean by John 14:29, a lot of the prophetic events that are outlined in Scripture, you simply can't understand what the Lord is saying there until that event happens. Explain that. Explain how you didn't even know, which means everybody on the planet has no idea what the Lord's talking about in there, including his own people. And then the event occurs, and there's still people out there saying that God didn't write that Bible. That literally makes me laugh. Because, look, if you're saying mankind wrote that Bible, then mankind is a lot more ingenious than you think. Because you, mankind, couldn't even figure out your own statements in that Bible. And then when the event happened, you go, wow, look what I figured out. before I even knew I figured it out. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But this is the way some of the reasoning goes between the ears of people that are chomping on pork chops and drinking the beers and denying Christ as Lord. I mean, this is just the way the world is. We have all the evidence we need. I mean, we got, you know, you walk into the woods, you can see our God in all creation, and then you look at the prophecies, and it's like, come on, how can there not be a heaven when absolutely every single solitary prophecy that the Lord said was supposed to happen before he gets here have happened, with the exception of a couple? Well, what if those don't come true? Well, how can they not? How can those last two or three prophecies not come true when all the other ones did exactly as he said? I mean, come on, are you really that naive? Or do you really hate him that much that you're hoping the last few don't happen? Really, really, really frosts my bonnet sometimes when I think about stuff like that. And, you know, how some people, it's like, you know, the denial thing, self-denial. They're hoping, they're grasping at ropes of sand, hoping that Jesus isn't really real. They're doing the best they can. And all they're doing while doing so is living a miserable life. So if you do as the Lord calls you to do, he has pledged himself to answer your prayers. And a pledge or a promise from God is nowhere near as wimpy and weak and beggarly as that of mankind. When God makes a promise, it's set in eternal stone. I mean, there's no way, you know, that's why, you know, when we had students here some years ago, one of the tasks was to find all the promises in the New Testament. And if the Lord would have allowed us to continue, we would have found all of the promises in the Old Testament. It's a pretty neat page on the website. You start at the top, and if you get halfway down without, you know, being overwhelmed with joy, there's something wrong. The amount of promises is just jaw-dropping. And then once you realize this and realize he is going to answer your prayers, and sometimes when he answers no or he takes a long time to answer the prayer, that is when the blessing is the most amazing. Because when you look back and you realize, wow, I'm so glad you didn't answer that prayer 20 years ago, because if you did, I wouldn't have gotten to the plateau I'm at now. I wouldn't be able to hug you as much as I do now. I wouldn't be able to see you as much as I do now. I wouldn't be able to understand as much as I do now. Thank you for letting me go through that, one of the roughest things I've ever gone through in my life, because had I not gone through that, I wouldn't know you the way I know you now. So the perfect peace of Jesus can come upon you like living waters, and life will definitely spring forward once again, just as he promised. So I hope and pray that you are blessed. Be back in a minute.